Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are going to be interviewing Journal Sentinel reporter John Dietrich. We're working to get him onto the line so he can share with all of you his next installment in a series of investigative pieces that he's been doing that address gun violence in the state of Wisconsin. Cardi, John says he's here in the studio, but I have yet to see him. So if you can take a look and see if we've got him anywhere, hopefully we can. Okay, great. Thank you very much. We're working to get John here and talking with us. There he is joining us, I think, on the phones. We will be sure to get him. I interviewed John twice, I believe once in late 2023 and then again in 2024 for the first couple installments of his excellent work on these issues. And it's been quite shocking. And Tom, you've joined me today as a co-host. One of the things that John's work has pointed out is the incidence of suicide that occur because of the gun issue and prevalence in the state of Wisconsin. And he's, again, turning now to accidental gun violence that involves children. John, thanks so much for making time. You are on the air. It's good to talk with you again. Tell us about your piece. There's so many angles in this article, John, that we can talk about.
So sorry for the technical issues. Year two. You mentioned a project that I started last year through the O'Brien Fellowship at Marquette University, Behind the Gun, where we really looked at gun deaths statewide in Wisconsin and looked at all of them. So not just homicides, but also suicides. And then saw how that hits counties upstate. What we are doing this year is looking at a much smaller category, but one that gets a lot of publicity, which is unintentional gun deaths. So those are 1% of the gun death total, but they're especially when they involve children, they get a lot of attention, and rightly so. Children that get access to unsecured firearms and are hurt or killed. And so the gist of this project was to look at these, to try to understand how often they happen, if there are geographical differences. As I say in the article, they are rare, they are tragic, and they are highly preventable. And in that whole category, the other thing that we wanted to look at is where are they happening in the state of Wisconsin, and what happens in the system in response to when those happen.
Yes, it was quite an emotionally provoking article, John, because of, frankly, one, these are all preventable injuries and deaths. You put it succinctly, prevent access, prevent the shooting. And we've seen a spate of laws, both here in the state of Wisconsin, but in other states, that do punish the parents or guardians or the gun owners if they leave them loaded and unsecured and kids get their hands on them and a shooting occurs and an accidental injury. As a lawyer, John, I thought the portion of your article that was both concerning and confusing was the enormous discrepancies that we see in the historical record in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to charging decisions in these tragic circumstances. And there's a huge variation, is there not? John, tell us more about that.
There is. Well, first of all, the incidents happen more. So over 8 years, we located 190 incidents of these types of cases. Again, unintentional, so there's no intention. This isn't a stray bullet case. Right. This is a discharge. And half of those happen in Milwaukee County. So we have a big population in Milwaukee County, but not half. So that's a disproportionate number of incidents that happen. Also, the prosecutions disproportionately happen in Milwaukee County. What happens in Milwaukee County that's very different from the rest of the state is that almost every one of the cases for the last 8 years charged in Milwaukee County are charged as a felony. And they're not charged there's actually a state law from 1991 that was created around this particular behavior, this criminal conduct, and it says that this conduct is a misdemeanor. However, prosecutors in the state in Milwaukee County, under the direction of Deputy District Attorney Matthew Torbenson, his view is that that is woefully inadequate and that this is felony conduct. And I spoke to Deputy District Attorney Torbenson at length, and his view is that I've seen the cases. These are horrific cases. These are preventable. We need to bring punishment. We need to bring deterrence. And in his view, we also need to bring prohibition so that a felony conviction would prohibit. But just to compare, I mean, we're talking about in Milwaukee County over the last 8 years. This is not hundreds of cases, but it's the majority, 54 cases, 52 of those are felonies. And those are cases that I profile some of them and highlight them in the piece today. Brianna Givens is one of them. In that case, what you look at is you look at the implications of what happens when somebody's charged with a felony. Now, outstate, far fewer cases. It doesn't happen as often outstate. And there are felonies that are charged outstate, but it's much more often misdemeanor charges. There are also, I should note, some cases outstate that I found where no charges were filed at all, you know, against the parents.
And I, John, you know, I can understand an assistant or deputy district attorney's frustration when you see the same tragedies repeating over and over and over again, and the desire to do something to help stem the tide. But if the presumption is that it's going to have a deterrent effect to charge the felonies, as an economist, not as a lawyer, but as an economist, my next question becomes, is there evidence supporting district attorney, assistant district attorney Torbenson's assertion that it has a deterrent effect when you're charging these felonies? Because unlike that lawyer, for the families, these are standalone events. These aren't a pattern in the family.
Right. These are one-off things that are not likely to repeat. And what you're hoping is that the fear that people have of going to prison or being in the judicial system in one sense is going to be greater than your concern for your child's safety. Right. So that's kind of what the heart of this this is. And there is the child access protection laws, CAP laws, or safe storage laws have been passing frequently, you know, across the country. In 91, Wisconsin was kind of at the early adopter stage. But since then, you know, the majority of states have them. And there's a lot of organizations, a number of them, and researchers that have advocated that these are effective. There is some research by Dr. Matthew Miller, and I spoke to Dr. Miller. He's at Northeastern and Harvard. And his team questions this. And his team found that there is not evidence looking at the data that these laws are effective in changing storage behavior. That number one, people don't know what laws there are in the state. And if they do, they're not storing differently because of this. And so there's like real question as to whether the laws themselves are likely to affect behavior. That's where, you know, Torbenson was saying, you know, he welcomed the article because the publicity, he wants more people to know about it. And, you know, and his point was, I would be happy if I didn't have to prosecute any of these cases. In other words, there are preventative measures, but the idea that the law is going to prevent these is really being called into question in more recent research.
And you also point out that Attorney Torbenson had a pretty direct impact on a new law that was adopted in 2017, which has been purposed to prosecute these cases as felonies, which is, you know, interesting. Like, he actually sort of had an advocacy role in how that new law was added, which now is being used for these felony prosecutions. And it goes without saying, and you make this point in your article, John, that, you know, folks in Milwaukee County and the way that you look at how the same sort of conduct is prosecuted very differently, yes, ends up revealing a deep racial disparity across the state. What did Attorney Torbenson have to say about that?
Well, you're right on the change in the law. So, you know, rather than amend the current 1991 law, which is the Leave Store law, He, working with a colleague of his that he went to Marquette Law School with, that was at the Department of Justice, they amended the state's felony neglect law, and to make it, because it said at that time that there had to be intentionality. And he, you know, his point was that's not really logical. Neglect isn't intentional. It should be unintentional. And so that law is also used for things like parents who neglect to feed their children or provide medical care or have them living in squalor, those kinds of conditions. And so the theory, the even though it doesn't, or leave like dangerous drugs like fentanyl around, those kinds of things, it doesn't mention firearms, but that's how that law has been used. But in terms of the racial dynamic, I mean, talking to Torbenson, his point was, and again, he doesn't prosecute all these, but people under his supervision, he either doesn't personally or people under his supervision. And, you know, his point was, yes, and he said those numbers don't surprise me of, you know, 65 cases, you know, the vast majority are African-American. There's some Hispanic and one or two white defendants in there. Now, his point was, and I should also note, there aren't like several cases of white defendants where he no processed or something like that. There isn't that sort of, and he would say, I can only
within Milwaukee County, right? He's been approaching them consistently within the county. Yep, heard.
Within Milwaukee. And he says, I can't speak it to what happens outside of Milwaukee County. I'm not out there, but you know, this is the way I see this conduct in here. And he makes a very impassioned, I think, argument in this article. If people feel when they read this, you know, conflicted, you know, my editor, Greg Borowski, that was very conscious of us not to sort of provide tidy answers, but to say we should all grapple with this because this is not an easy issue. I think there's some impact that people might not appreciate, and that's what I wanted to highlight. But, you know, from Torbenson's point of view, you know, he grew up in the city, you know, he feels very, and he's like, I need to advocate for these children. His point was, when I mentioned the disparity racially, he said, all my victims are African-American. They're African-American children. And who is standing up for them and the family members, not just the parents who were responsible? What about the grandparents or maybe a parent that wasn't living in the home or, you know, other individuals? And it's my responsibility to speak up for those victims who.
We're with John Dietrich, Journal Sentinel reporter. We got to take care of some quick business. We're going to talk about the intersection of people trying to protect their kids from these extremes.